2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Hello and welcome to the Taco Tuesday PGA DFS podcast presented to you by DFSArmy.com. Be sure to check us out using the link in the description. And if you like what you hear in the podcast, you want to come check out our premium tools and articles I'm talking about here, and you want to hear the rest of this podcast, the deeper dive into the field, come subscribe with us at DFSArmy.com. Use promo code TACO on signup. We're covering all the daily fantasy sports. Our NFL content is about to kick off. Got lots of nice updates to the golf research station that you will definitely want to come and dive right into. So be sure to come check us out. Join us before the NFL season. It's going to be a really good one. You get access to not only projections and the optimizer for every sport, every major DFS sport out there. You also get access to our VIP Slack chat where you can talk one-on-one with coaches, including myself, for any sport that you need help with that day. All in one inclusive low price, DFSArmy.com, promo code TACO to support the pod and get a lifetime 10% off. Okay, so this week we are headed back to North Carolina. We were here earlier in, what, like April or May or so, for the Wells Fargo Championship. But this course couldn't be any more different than the Wells Fargo Championship. We were headed to the Wyndham Championship, and besides having North Carolina in common, they both also have really bad sponsors in common. Of course, Wells Fargo being a bank that's gotten in a lot of trouble lately, and Wyndham, of course, being a known timeshare company, which everybody just loves those, don't they? Anywho, it's a full-size field. We're at a par 70, 7,127-yard par 70. So it's among the shorter courses on tour. And like I had mentioned, got some nice updates for the research station, and one of the nicest things that I've just added here is the tournament breakdown. So just going to take a real quick look at this to show you, you know, what you can gather from all this. Basically, this just compares this tournament to every other tournament in regards to course size, average score, average showdown, fantasy points, you know, different stats, average driving distance accuracy, greens regulation, birdies, eagles, pars, and then just a breakdown of where all the strokes come from too. If you want to do some just a deep dive into the you know, where the approach strokes come from, or where a lot of the putts come from, just in case this the course has an extreme split from one end to the other. Like here we can see 29% of the approach strokes come in from the 150 to 175 yard range. Compare that to the tour average of 22% from that range, and that could could just be something to look at further. We've also got average scoring standard deviation, which it's a really interesting stat. Basically, it just shows you the standard deviation in strokes between everyone's score at a tournament for each given round. It really shows you which tournaments the scores are more spread out at, and which ones the scoring is more tight and kept together. Here at this course, it's average in regards to that, but it ranks 8th in average score. Players average 1.5 strokes under par here. It also ranks 8th in average showdown fantasy points. Each round, you can expect your average golfer to score about 36.7 showdown fantasy points. Off the tee, you know, it's really the greens and regulation are the numbers that stick out. It ranks number 2 on tour in full field cut events, by the way, here. Ranks number 2 in greens and regulation percentage. These greens are larger. I think they're one of the largest greens on tour, if I'm not mistaken. You know, medium firmness, quite undulating, but it's not hard to get onto them. Obviously, if we're hitting almost 3/4 of our approach shot onto the green here. The greenside bunkers, they're kind of absent on a lot of holes, and some holes are really, really heavily protected, but a lot of them are just wide open. But they do have, you know, your undulation collection areas and stuff. The rough is generally cut to about 2 inches, which is fairly short. That might be a little bit similar to the Wells Fargo Championship. I mean, it is a scoring course, despite it being a par 70 with only two par fives. It's actually the second easiest par 70 on tour, only behind the Sony Open as far as scoring goes. And actually, this event ranks number 4 on the PGA Tour in eagles allowed. So we're going to see a lot of scoring. You know, it even ranks top 10 eagles and bottom 10 in bogeys. There are double bogeys to be had because there's definitely water in play in a lot of these holes. Some of these greens may not be bunker protected, but a few of them are very water protected. There's also a winding creek that goes throughout a bit of this course. Now, when running the historical correlations, like we do for the courses here, just looking at what correlates with success here in both, you know, the stats from the event and then each player's season-long averages the year that they went into the event. And when you look at what correlates with fantasy point scoring, as far as the season-long averages, it's not really that telling. You know, we see driving accuracy come in a lot higher than driving distance. That is definitely something that we see here. Of all of your winners, actually all of your winners outside of Patrick Reed in 2013 were your highest scoring fantasy point scorers. They all scored over 124 fantasy points. So it very much a scorer's course. It's not like the Canadian Open or anything where there are four easy par fives and the course goes nuts, or the field goes nuts all the time. But you will see winning scores reaching minus 20 or so. And all of these guys, the winners from the last, since 2010, none of them averaged over 300 yards in driving distance on the season. So that could be something to look into. But basically, driving distance is a complete non-factor this week. It's a shorter course, and it's more about drive placement than drive length. You know, the bunkers here, the fairway bunkers, it seemed like they were set up for years and years ago. Everybody can easily clear these things, unless you've got some serious distance concerns. And even then, we've seen guys, you know, like David Toms in 2010, or Heath Slocum in 2014, Michael Sim 2010, Jason Gore, you know, in 2015. We've seen guys like that on the final page of the leaderboard. So I wouldn't say this is an accuracy course necessarily, because driving accuracy still doesn't correlate all that highly, especially in the event. It's kind of a more random event, I'd say. The field is always weaker. We were in the week before the playoffs, so you've got a lot of people, you know, withdrawing as they qualify. We saw Adam Scott withdraw already. You'll see guys, everybody has a different thing that they're going for here. Some guys are on the bubble around the 125 rank in the FedEx Cup. I went ahead and added that to the research station this week, because it's going to be just cool to look at, I guess. I'm not really factoring it in too much, but I just know that, you know, some guys will need to go all out for a win, try and win here, and other guys just need to make a cut or have a safe little finish to secure their spot. Some are just padding their points. Some don't have any points whatsoever to worry about, like Neiman or some of the newer guys, so they don't really care. They're just here to win something, you know? There are a lot of things that'll add to the variance this week, certainly. I mean, you have no one that's over a 10-1 favorite in this field, although Webb Simpson is certainly making his way there very soon. Another thing I've added for the research station, I've added a few things here. Just one more thing I'll note. Now the odds are live updating constantly in the research station. Just refresh the page anytime you want, and You'll be able to see the exact movement since the books opened on Monday. You've already seen some guys like Webb Simpson drifting 17%, while, you know, Matsuyama and Stenson there haven't moved at all. Just, you know, it could be really helpful to at least get a... You know, it's not necessarily... The drifts and stuff aren't necessarily indicators of who you should play, but they are a nice indicator of who's being bet on and who could possibly be popular, who's getting a little hype behind their name here. So, yeah, that's a cool addition. And I've totally revamped the strokes gain category. Really excited to show this to you guys. You go to the strokes gain category, you can see all four categories off the tee approach, around the green, putting for each of the guys in the field. And instead of just looking at one season-long average, you know, just one number like most people would look at for the entire season and just what their, you know, strokes gained approach is or whatever, you can look at it in several different ways, have it broken down into last 5 rounds, last 10 rounds, last 25 rounds, last 50 rounds, total percentage of rounds where they gained strokes. You know, for example, Webb Simpson, only 45% of rounds that he plays is he actually gained strokes off the tee. Of course, his value comes from the 64% where he gains strokes approach. But it's really cool to see things like that. You can even see I have the last 10 rounds of each golfer individually listed, along with the standard deviation, so you can see who is very, you know, who's very consistent with their level of play in that in each category. You can also kind of see really just the difference between categories. You can see how, you know, the standard deviations of strokes gained off the tee are going to be a lot lower in general than putting, where it's quite wild and people can have some ridiculous swings. So it can, you know, you really want to target the guys who are bad putters but have a really high standard deviation and can, you know, randomly putt the lights out and randomly, you know, lose a bunch of strokes. You know, you definitely want to catch that lightning in the bottle. You don't really see it as much with stats like around the green, approach, and especially off the tee. But it really does show you what we're working with the strokes gain stats here. And you can definitely use this tab to find some guys who are trending in the right direction. You know, you want to look for guys that have been better over the last 10 rounds and the last 25 or 50 or so. So that's something cool you guys can come in and check out if you are a VIP member of the DFS Army. I guess the only other thing I really updated in here, the key tab, where most players will start, just to really, you know, made it a more in-depth breakdown of just what every single abbreviation on the research station means. I have to use a lot of abbreviations, so it's not like 10 miles wide. You know, at least want to be able to fit it on a widescreen monitor here, so you can always reference that really quickly. Never have to ask me. So for anyone that doesn't know what else, you know, has to offer, there's the Stat Cruncher, the, you know, customizable model. Just throw in your own weights, and it'll weight all the different stats appropriately, so you can create your own custom models and see where guys rank out in that. The Showdown tools, we're still waiting on Showdown salaries for the week, but. You can see like Showdown fantasy points gained per round or in different rounds, even by AM, PM splits, and good round percentage and bad round percentage, which really shows you which guys have more ceiling and which guys, you know, have more floor with the low bad round percentage. Really awesome stuff. There's definitely not going to be a shortage of statistics to look at in the research station. And also I added the new adjusted field rank section on the main page there in the DraftKings and FanDuel tabs. I know adjusted field rank, I told you guys last week I used it to make the strong fields split, but you know, a lot of people didn't know what the sample sizes were for everyone, so I have it broken down a little section here, and in each split you can see the exact sample size I have for each person. So you can see their last 15 events played, and you can see how many times they've played over the last 15 PGA Tour events, and what their adjusted field rank is in that split, last 25, season long. And then I'll have a couple of custom ones that are unique for each course. And this week that would be par 70s, so adjusted field rank on par 70 courses, and adjusted field rank in weak fields, because this is going to be a very, very weak field. I mean, Webb Simpson is $12,000 on FanDuel. So yeah, very weak field. And let's dive into it up here. Let's talk about these big three up here, if you will. They're not really that big this week, but given the field we're in, these are our big three. And I think they're actually the tier A options on FanDuel, along with Adam Scott, who's not even playing. So you've got Webb Simpson. He's $11,600. $12,200 on FanDuel. Absolute course horse here. Did miss the cut in 2016 when he was the chalk, and it was a huge, huge disaster for him. And he's also recently missed the cut at the Wells Fargo Championship. Like, he's from North Carolina, so the North Carolina events he usually crushes. He's also really great at the Wells Fargo. But, you know, he's shown that over the last few years, he has shown that at courses where he is a course horse at, this is definitely the number one example of that, doesn't make him safe at all. He can blow up at any time. If you look at his course history here, it's pretty absurd. Outside of the missed cut in 2016, his most recent finish is 3rd, 6th, 5th, 11th, 22nd, and winner in 2011, 8th in 2010. It's a nasty course history, definitely the best in the entire field. For sure. I'm pretty darn sure that he is a member of this country club. I'm pretty damn sure Quail Hollow, he had a membership there as well. I'm not exactly sure, but he definitely knows how to tear this course up from year to year. And, you know, not the longest off of the tee, but always been very accurate. That's Webb's game. That's kind of how it always has been. Just destroys it with the irons. And recently, you saw a couple of weeks ago, at the WGC Bridgestone, he not only holed in one eagle, two eagles, two eagles. I think the one on the first day was like 170 yards. So you can't really have your irons dialed in more than that. Over the last 10 rounds, he averages a stroke and a half gained approach, which is just ridiculous. Just crazy numbers there. Off the tee, he's pretty much consistently under average, but that's just how he operates. All about just pin seeking with him. All of his adjusted field rank splits are quite excellent. You know, had the win in Sawgrass, and this may not be a Pete Dye design, but he did co-design this course with Ross. So he, you know, just something to look at there. I know that you know, winning at Sawgrass is definitely a good sign for other Pete Dye style courses, and you can ask Stenson about that. He's also pretty darn good there and won here last year. Now, you know, back with Webb Simpson here, like I had mentioned, since yesterday alone, he's gone from 13.3 to 1. Now he's all the way down at like 11 even to 1. He's drifted 17%. Nobody that I can see, just going this field, nobody's even drifted half as much as he has. And you look at Hideki and Henrik, you know, you could say that that's due to Adam Scott withdrawing, which I'm sure a part of it is. But if you look at Hideki, look at Stenson, they're right there in his range, 16 to 1, 17 to 1. Neither have budged an inch. And if you go down to Snedeker, 10,400 in DraftKings, 11,800 on FanDuel, what a price for Snedeker. And Rafael Cabrera Bello, also $10,100 on DraftKings, 11,600 on FanDuel. I mean, you can see, we're kind of back to the weak fields here after a few very strong fields in a row. Those two are actually moving up 8% and 9% respectively. They have some, you know, they're both top five here a couple of years ago. Didn't show up last year. Their prices are crazy for both sites, honestly, especially FanDuel. But you almost kind of have to use some Snedeker, some RCB, just for lack of options, especially if you don't want to venture into Matsuyama and Stenson, who are it's hard to argue that they're not a bit overpriced for sure on both sites. Matsuyama actually is not a bad option over on FanDuel, where he's the third most expensive, but on DraftKings, his price is really hard to pony up. You see, Matsuyama, if this event happened like 9 months ago, Matsuyama would be like 13,000. You gotta remember, he just absolutely crushed the beginning part of the season. Then we tried to three-peat the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Withdrew, took out a third of the field with him, and it hasn't really been the same since. He flashed a little bit of form, I think around like the US Open time or so. Since then, he's only been hitting the majors, WGCs, 35th at the Open Championship, finished in the bottom half of the field at the WGC Bridgestone, and then missed the cut last week at the PGA Championship. I was looking at Stenson. He's the one that missed the cut last week. Matsuyama, he tied with Stenson at the WGC Bridgestone, but did okay last week. Finished T35. Was never in contention or anything. And then you look at Stenson. Like I had said, he'd missed the cut last week at the PGA Championship. He's 35th at the Open Championship. I was looking at the wrong row there, because Matsuyama, he actually missed the cut at the Open Championship. So they sort of got the exact same form going on here, just flip-flop the Open and the PGA Championship with Stenson and Hideki here. If you look at, I added one more stat that I thought would be neat to add, was the aggressive shot percentage. You'll see that on there, next to fantasy points gained. It shows you of all of the drivable par 4s and the par 5 second shots where the green is in range. Just tells you what percentage of the time they go for it and try to hit the green. The aggressive shot percentage, I think this is a really good stat to look for in GPP. So I'm really thinking that the way to go here is Webb Simpson in cash. That feels right. He's in my cash lineup for sure. And then Matsuyama and Stenson, if you look at them, you know, Webb's aggressive shot percentage, 50%. Matsuyama and Stenson, 75%, 70%. These guys go for it. Kind of surprising to see Stenson up there with the, you know, with the fact that he doesn't even use a driver most of the time, but he's a very aggressive player when he has to be. So Matsuyama and GPP, Stenson and GPP, Webb Simpson and cash, that definitely feels like the right way to attack this week. Looking at some more stats here, you know, approach the green, Stenson splits are just ridiculous. It doesn't matter what split you look at it. The dude just, 77% of the time, he's gaining strokes not only off the tee, but approach the green. His overall tee to green game is just sick. I mean, he's been losing tons of strokes putting lately. But like I mentioned earlier, that can flip in a second. And he doesn't even need to putt all that well to do well here if he can just pin seek like crazy. And this is a course where you absolutely can. I forgot to mention the layout of this course. There are 8 medium length par 4s, and both of the par 5s are short, and they give up tons of eagles. Like I mentioned earlier, it's top 4, or ranked number 4 on the PGA Tour in eagle percentage. So looking at guys who excel in those stat categories, and actually of the big three, Webb Simpson, medium par fours, short par fives, those are the best part of his entire game. So you got to give the nod to Webb again. I think Webb is going to be the overwhelming chalk, and it's hard to kind of argue against that. Comes in on some good form, 3 straight top 25s. Hideki and Henrik, I mean, they're going to get some ownership just for lack of options, but they are not, I don't think they're really speaking to anybody off the page. Now, Stenson will, Stenson being the winner last year and, you know, ranking out number one the field in a few stats like a season-long adjusted field rank, driving accuracy percentage, greens regulation percentage. You know, he's very much a specialist in that regard. And, of course, the approach to green numbers, I think that will definitely lead people to Stenson. Matsuyama, really hard to use Matsuyama much this week. I mean, you'll definitely be able to if you can afford a lot of the studs up here. There's just not much to spend your money on, you know. Almost feels like a European Tour event. And then just to brush up on the last few guys over $10,000 here. Brant Snedeker, $10,400. Like I'd mentioned, you know, he gets everything done in the short game and loses strokes tee to green, so it's kind of, you know, the opposite of Stenson here. But he does have some good course history, like I'd mentioned, 3rd in 2016, 5th in 2014, and 8th in 2010. And recently, he has actually popped off for, I think, 3 top 10s over the last few months on tour. Made the cut at the PGA Championship. I'd be more interested in him if his price was anything more realistic, but, you know, he's now legitimately the 4th favorite in this field. Cabrera Bayo is just a hair ahead of him here. and he's an even more interesting case here, but for Snedeker, you know, I don't really like attacking the guys that get a lot of stuff done with the short game, and if you look over the last 25 events, his adjusted field rank of 70%, hard to compare that to Stenson's 78%, and Webb Simpson 79%, you know. But Snedeker, you know, you just have to take him sometimes because he just seems to transcend the stats oftentimes and just, you know, come up with these top 10s, top 5s out of nowhere. And then you've got Rafael Cabrera Bale from the European Tour, having a struggling season so far in the European Tour, but he's put together some good finishes and some very strong fields recently. 10th at the PGA Championship and 17th at the WGC Bridgestone the week before. Pretty much everything going back farther is real shaky. You know, his made cut percentage this year is 89%. That's only in 11 events played. I think only, what, 8 of those? Only 9 of those were cut events. And I'm pretty sure, yeah, most of them, like the PGA Championship, Open Championship, pretty much all the majors. They were very strong fields. He actually has no events played in weak fields in America so far this year. We know historically he can crush weak American fields. We just haven't really seen him in that spot for quite a while. His stats are more inspiring. Off the tee, works him really good. 81% of the time he gains strokes off the tee. 73% of the time he gains strokes approach. Although recently it's kind of, you know, it's not been that great. His approach numbers aren't really, he's not gaining a ton of strokes approach. If anything, he'll get it done. You know, with his off the tee game, his driving accuracy, and actually he's a very, very good around the green scrambler too, which, you know, it's kind of a shame because that doesn't really matter too much here, but doesn't hurt, I guess. Yeah, with Cabrera Bayo, I don't know. I just don't, I'm not a huge fan of him, but I'm really not a huge fan of anybody in this upper echelon of players outside of, obviously, Stenson, who y'all know I'm a huge fan of him. So, of course, I'm going to play a ton of him. But then, you know, Simpson, I'm playing him alongside everyone else. I'm not going to be overweight. He's going to be insanely popular just with the course history and everything. So, you know, it's really hard to pick guys to pay for this week. It's not a great week of DFS, if I'm being perfectly honest here. It's just a weaker field. You know, you got the whole, you know, who knows what with the FedEx Cup stuff. I mean, none of the guys we've talked about are really in danger with the FedEx Cup standings. Matsuyama and Snedeker in the 80s, so maybe they could be doing better. But, you know, RCB, he doesn't really care. He's actually, he's 57th in the FedEx Cup ranking. So, you know, good for him, I guess. Just, he's really been bumping up the last few weeks, but, you know, I don't know. It's just Stenson and Simpson. I'm going to have to come up with more. You know, I'm leaning towards Snedeker, I guess, and RCB, just kind of following a little bit of this movement here. I mean, they're actually doing something for me. When we go to talk about the last guy in the $10,000 range, he's actually only $10,000 on DraftKings. He's not even that on FanDuel. Yes, we have the rare case of someone being more expensive on DraftKings than FanDuel. We have not seen that in months. Talking about Mr. Shane Lowry, $9,800 on FanDuel. Just go smash him over there. I don't like this play at all because Lowry has sucked. He really has sucked. He has 3 straight top 15 finishes in a row coming into this week. One of them doesn't really count because that was a 15th at the Barracuda. I don't know if that impresses you, but that does not impress me much at all. Other than that, we have the 12th in Canada, which is, I mean, it's a good sign, I guess. Shows that he can definitely birdie, even though it's not really been his forte long term. And then last week, he was 12th at the PGA Championship, and he did it all through the flat stick, like all of it. He gained almost 2 strokes putting on average last week. He gained like 7 or 8 strokes. I think it was like 7 strokes he gained to the field putting last week. It was insane. And he was losing strokes approach, you know. I mean, man, I don't really want to support that, you know, but on FanDuel he's such a freebie. You just gotta go smash him over there. So yeah, that'll do it for the free segment of this podcast. Remember to come check us out if you want to get this whole deep player dive, and I know you want to come check out this research station, of course, the Domination Station, where you can pump out as many lineups as you want to go ham in the big multi-entry GPPs. Come check us out, dfsarmy.com. Use promo code TACO.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.